The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
This week on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, it's all about Hardy. Hardy, Hardy. Matt Hardy's got some news, some cool stuff. We'll get to that in a second. It's actually very exciting. First off, my name is Shannon Young. I'm the host for the evening here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Down at the end of the table, the five-star man, Asa Gray.
Hello.
Allie, not actually a bear.
Hello.
Shut up, Dalton! Wait, where's Dalton? Oh.
The old Dalton can't come to the phone right now.
Why not?
Because he's sick.
Yeah, Dalton's out. He's sick this week. Actually, all of us
just
are a little
like
bit under
the other three of us.
Right.
Yet, who showed up?
I think
who
his
loves
was...
you the most, fans?
This is why you boo him at every CCW show, for the record. Before we get started, we want to send a special shout-out to our good friend Nikki Lane, who suffered an unfortunate injury at CCW Knockout November 2 and is now wearing an eye patch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The sexiest eye patch. Smoking hot eye patch. I said she should be, what did I say her name should be? She was looking for gimmicks to use the eye patch. I think I called her High Seas Nikki Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Screw that Kairi Sane girl. This is the real pirate princess.
Yes.
Better than the Pinnacle Princess.
Yeah.
But no, we wish you the best. Quick recovery. We want to see you back at CCW again as
soon
as possible.
Hopefully you get good news soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
But with that out of the way, let's get back to the thing I teased at the very beginning, and that is Matt Hardy. And I don't even think this was the main story that we were going to go with.
It wasn't the one I was going to go with, but okay.
But I think that enough stuff has happened, especially today, that we really need to just talk about this real quick.
Oh, yeah, no.
So Matt Hardy, as you all know, I think you all know.
If you watched Raw, you know.
Yeah. And if you have seen Matt Hardy for the past few months and years, you know that he was huge in WWF as the Hardy Boys with Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually became WWE, obviously. Left WWE under not so great terms, kind of okay terms, nothing terrible, but went to Impact, didn't really do a lot, looked horrible, had some rough times, and then really turned it around when he started the broken Matt Hardy gimmick.
I mean, he to give him credit, like he turned it around well before that.
Like, his personal life or actually on
screen? I mean personal life. Because he was someone who kind of had his demons.
Right.
And, you know, it's very great to see that he has seemingly totally overcome those.
Yeah.
And then that also kind of momentum, it looked like, really carried over into his professional wrestling career.
Right.
Because I liked the Big Money Matt.
I liked Big Money Matt, too.
I thought that was cool. But with the broken Matt gimmick in TNA.
It became an institution.
And
no joke.
It became like one of the cornerstones of TNA.
And a lot of it was funded by Matt Hardy and the Hardy Boys.
Those shoots were funded by the Hardys. They ran that episode that was entirely done at their at the Hardy compound.
Yeah.
Was done because TNA could not afford to run a show at the Impact Zone.
Right.
So they pretty much let them use their home and their rings and stuff to film a TV show. So it was a huge part of Impact.
Yeah, and the you know, the trade-off was the Hardys basically gave them free place to record and free publicity and stuff like that. And also the Hardy Boys were kind of reinvigorated as characters,
mm-hmm.
because as much as I love the Hardy Boys, because I was never the biggest fan of them.
I was.
Oh, I loved Edge and Christian more. Like, that was my tag team.
And this was something that I talked about, like, with Coachman. I hated Coachman as a kid.
Right.
Because he was just obnoxious and he was annoying. And I was like, oh, now I get it.
Right.
But as it, you know, being younger, I hated him.
Yeah.
That was Edge and Christian.
You hated them when you were younger?
I hated them because they always screwed over the Hardys.
Right.
I love the Hardys. They were my, like, growing up, like, there was always Kane. I always had a great appreciation for Jericho, like, not as much as I do now, but the Hardys. I loved them.
And they were one of the three big tag teams in the 90s, especially the Hardys, Edge and Christian, and the Dudley Boys, of course. But over time, the act kind of got, I don't want to say it got stale, but, you know, obviously all things in time lose steam. Jeff Hardy had his personal demons. Both guys, even though they were successful in Impact, they just didn't have the same magic that they had in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the broken Hardy gimmick, which Jeff, too, as Brother Nero, even though I personally did not like the broken Hardy stuff.
Oh, you hated it. You hated every second of it.
I said it before. When it was contained within Matt Hardy's insanity and the mm-hmm. rest of the world was normal, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
When it was freaking Crazy Steve murder. Blowing up in a volcano and literal murder and stuff, and Gregory Helms getting dipped in a pool and coming out as the hurricane. That's stupid. That's stupid, and I hated it, but I also cannot deny the importance of it.
Right.
Well, here's the cool news.
Well, so, you know, we covered it a lot too. Whenever the Hardys eventually split from TNA and returned to WWE, and even before that, when they were wrestling at Ring of Honor, they were told, you don't get to use the broken gimmick. TNA owns that. We own that.
Right.
And so that was a huge deal that had been going on for months of them arguing and legally fighting who owns the broken gimmick. So, and now on Monday.
On Monday, after Matt Hardy lost to
Bray Wyatt.
I saw somebody post a, I think it was maybe on 411 Mania, when they were doing the review for that, the literal quote was, oh, F, Bray Wyatt's gonna talk. Because at this point, Bray Wyatt promos have become, change the channel, put on some popcorn, go check it out. It's not that he's bad at promos. He's fantastic.
It's just the stuff that he's working
with. The stuff
with
that
now.
He's given is just awful.
Especially when you go back and you look at the, you know, I will not fight their wars.
Yeah.
Stuff like that was.
His first promo when he came to WWE, since Chills Up My Spine, it was so good.
Yeah. And it now made it's sense. A little bit, and now it's more nonsensical and just kind of.
Eater of Worlds.
I still enjoy. I love Bray Wyatt.
Like, yeah, if they would let him win.
Yeah. And that's the thing is it's like, yeah, it's kind of a bummer, which thankfully it looks like we kind of dodged the whole Sister Abigail Balor feud bullet, but.
Over that.
And this is what I wanted to ask you, because Jeff Hardy got hurt.
Yeah.
And Matt kind of, they weren't really doing anything with him.
Right.
Maybe in hindsight, that was intentional, and like, that's all what's being built to this moment now. Maybe it's just, oh, well, Jeff's gone. And let's be honest, WWE has always seen more money in Jeff Hardy than Matt Hardy.
Yep.
They've always seen more money in Jeff Hardy as a solo act than the Hardy Boys together. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I was always a Matt Hardy fan.
Like, I was too. I always thought Matt was the better wrestler of the two.
Same.
Not taking anything away from Jeff Hardy.
No, they're both incredible. Good. Yeah.
But I always thought Matt was more of like the technically sound wrestler.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, kind of a shame that with Jeff Shelv, they just weren't really doing anything with Matt.
Just send him out there to lose occasionally.
Yeah.
He was a JTTS.
And he beat a couple people. Like, didn't he beat Jason Jordan? A couple weeks ago, like when Jordan was trying to get opponents, or am I
that I'm not sure. Yeah.
I might be misremembering that. So
I can't remember anything other than Matt Hardy losing lately.
Well, and so that's the thing. Like, he barely beat Curt Hawkins, and so maybe that is part of the story. But since the first night back at WrestleMania, he was doing delete. He was doing the mannerisms of broken, more contained, more subtle, more subdued, not totally over the top. But he was doing elements of the broken character
right.
from day one.
Yeah.
I just don't, and again, this is the first week we've seen it. There will be more. I'm going to give it a fair shot. It just kind of bugs me that one loss to Bray Wyatt and a promo by Bray Wyatt that doesn't even really address Matt Hardy even a little bit is what finally breaks him.
Not to steal a quote from Dalton, but why is that the thing that broke him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially when you compare the reason that Matt Hardy was broken in TNA, which was after the grueling loss in a last man standing match to his brother.
Right.
Because he was frustrated because Jeff Hardy was injured in that motorcycle accident, or in the dirt bike accident, that cost them the tag team championships.
Which he addressed when we interviewed him.
Yes.
Which was cool.
Yeah. But so Matt had frustrations with Jeff. He turned on his brother, attacked his brother, and then eventually lost. And that is in a grueling, like that match was intense. Like it was well done. And that's what set off Matt's condition.
That's good.
I know. I tried.
So
now when you compare that to, oh, well, he's lost a couple matches and then he lost to Bray Wyatt. Don't get me wrong. What did we clamor for? Well, then maybe not you, but like, what did I clamor for that entire time? And Dalton too.
Kane coming back and winning.
Well, that always forever. But you know, broken Hardys versus the Wyatt family.
Right.
And well, so, but now, okay, well, Jeff's still hurt and Wyatt no longer has a family.
The whole reason that they, I believe the reason they didn't pull the trigger on broken Matt from the beginning was because of TNA's lawyers going, no.
Absolutely.
Now I have heard that apparently it was never in the cards to begin with because Vince McMahon didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is perfectly plausible.
Reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, remember the whole, the blonde bitch project, Paul Burchill, Pirate Paul. Vince McMahon has canceled lots of things because he didn't understand the thing.
Yeah.
So I could see that. But I think the big reason they didn't do it, because I think Vince would have seen money in this, was because TNA's lawyers were like, no.
Right.
Well, now Anthem has said today, and this is breaking just a couple of hours ago.
Ed Nordholm.
Yeah, he said that we will no longer pursue legal action against it. It's okay.
And not only that, they have said that TNA talent are free to use their gimmick, like
their homegrown gimmicks
if they decide to leave the company, which that is...
That's big.
Insane.
And the reason they did that, let's not beat around the bush. It's the same reason that EA took microtransactions out of Star Wars. It's not because they realized they were being a jerk. It's because the publicity they got from the Matt Hardy thing did some damage to their reputation.
And the ongoing rumor is kind of like, now that Jeff Jarrett is out of the company, people are kind of pointing the finger at him, saying that Jarrett was the one that was saying, no, hold on to this. We can make money off of it. But then it turns out, well, you really wouldn't.
Right.
So,
I mean, and it's damage control.
Yeah.
It's damage control.
So it's one of those things like, whereas Ed Nordholm had previously been the one and everyone was like, no, this is a businessman. He doesn't get the wrestling world.
Right.
That's why he's doing this. So we still, like, none of that's confirmed. We don't know who was behind that. We just know Ed Nordholm straight up said, we're not going to pursue this anymore.
And now the Hardys are free to do it.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's a rumor. I don't think it's been confirmed, is that the WWE is already getting it together. They've already got a gimmick plan for him, which if you saw Raw, he was down in the ring. He did the delete. And this time he did a little differently. It was
It was more manic.
The reason that it was different, and I think I knew it as soon as it happened, was because the WWE, the announcers literally said, oh, he's kind of breaking or something like that. They hinted at it so heavily. You're like, there's no way they're not.
It wasn't subtle.
The only way they can make this work, because I agree with you. Why is this what broke him? The only way they could do that is if they say, well, if Matt says, I've always been this way since that happened and I tried to contain it, but I just can't contain it anymore. You have to play it off like you have to address that he did it before. You cannot just say this is our new thing.
And even
you
like,
have to say you don't have to mention Impact by name.
Right.
But you can just say,
we've seen this behavior before.
The battles that I had with my brother left me scarred. I can't contain the madness, whatever. But you have to address it. You cannot ignore it.
What do you think of Bray Wyatt intentionally doing this to draw that out of Matt Hardy?
I feel like...
He's like, I've seen what you're capable of. Like, what if, he's doing this because he wants Matt Hardy to be broken, because he wants to recruit Matt Hardy.
I think that's a great idea, but if that's the case, I think they boned it because...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because Bray Wyatt didn't do anything other than beat him.
And the like I said, the promo was not directed at Matt Hardy.
But if you were going to have someone draw this out of Matt Hardy, who better than Bray Wyatt?
And here's the other problem that I have with it. Brother Nero came about because after Matt Hardy was broken and his continued war against Jeff, Jeff won the initial exchange, but Matt got some pretty decisive, vicious wins over Jeff, which is what in turn
broke Jeff,
and he slowly became Brother Nero.
Right.
So
it wasn't a great story, but at least it was coherent and made sense.
Like, it made sense, and I thought it was good. Like, it was, yes, it was way over the top, and it was goofy, and, you know, sometimes volcanoes just happen to pop up in North Carolina and threaten to level cities.
Oh, my God.
So, but it's one of those things where because you told the origin story once already and they did it such a good job, trying to rehash it is just going to feel weird. And
unnecessary.
Do you address that it already happened because we're not stupid? Or do you, oh, yeah, no, this already happened, and then you just kind of get a set, you just get a rehash of it, and it's like an imitation. It's
because that never works.
If they would have, like, if I know they, the circumstances were against them, and I would have much preferred if they came in as the Broken Hardys,
right?
Because boom, established, and then you can just do whatever from there.
And they were doing it. Matt Hardy still has the whiteness hair.
Yeah, he was still always doing.
He still does the pose and the maniac smile.
Right. So I don't know. It's weird. I'm excited for it. I'm not trying to be like overly negative or say that, you know, they've already ruined it one weekend, because I don't want to do that. I want to think that, okay, they know what they're doing. Let's see how it plays out.
I think it goes one of two ways. And Allie, I want to get your opinion on it too in a second. But the two ways that I see it happening is, one, it goes terribly because Vince takes control of the gimmick and tells Matt how to do it. And Vince's version of it is awful. It's like Amazing Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's my vision of it, and it's terrible. Or Matt does it, and Vince just keeps him reined in to where it doesn't get to the stupidity parts, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, if Vince McMahon,
like,
and
the
his team
filter.
If they can filter it and make it good without being so over the top that it's insulting, I think it could be one of the best things in wrestling. But I also feel that if Vince McMahon just goes, okay, this is what you did, that was small time farm league, here's how we're going to do it now, it could be the worst thing ever. Look at Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
Look at Sister Abigail.
Do you think, and Allie too, Do you think that when Jeff comes back, is he come back Brother Nero? Does he come back as Jeff Hardy? Like, hey, man, this was behind us.
He has to.
You were better. You were like, we got better.
Yeah.
Or does he just immediately go in the line with?
I have no doubt that they'll bring him back as Brother Nero immediately, but I think that's a mistake. I think you have to have him try to be the voice of reason, and then either keep him the voice of reason and don't do Brother Nero again, and let Jeff do his own thing, because that's what they always wanted Jeff to do. He was right. The money. Mm-hmm. Or you have Matt.
Put him on different brands, maybe.
Right. You can't just have him come back as Brother Nero for no reason, though. Allie, you know how frustrated I was with the whole Hardy angle in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this? Wasn't it the worst?
You like Monday or
the... No, Monday was fine. I thought Monday was done pretty well, other than the fact that it felt anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
But the original Hardy Boys stuff in Impact, what did you think of that first off?
I mean, I didn't really see all of it. I saw the first one, the final deletion.
Yeah.
The one after that I didn't see. The one that you really hated,
the one that broke
I did
me.
Not see.
The one that turned me into Broken Shannon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I viewed it as this, it was a story made for entertainment, so in their storyline, crazy things can happen.
It was concept art. It was abstract. Hey, to be fair, the first final deletion was so infamous, like even our friends like Mike Branham, who's not a wrestling fan, came in and asked to watch it because it was so batshit crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was. It was stupid, but it was campy fun. Mm-hmm. And I think they went too far with it. So I'm curious to see what Vince McMahon does with it. But
yeah. Like you said, it could be super great. It could be a train wreck. Either way.
Or it could be nothing.
And honestly, like.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to throw my last option out. It could be that they kind of do it. They start doing it. And then they just abandon it.
And that's the problem. Is like, this is something you can't half-ass.
Right.
You need, like, if you're going to do it, you need to do it.
This is like
gold
dust.
Lean into it.
You dedicate yourself to it or no.
And you know, you say, oh, Vince isn't going to get it, but look at gold dust.
Right.
So clearly he has an eye for the weird.
Yeah.
Like sometimes. So it's, yeah, I'm happy for Matt. Like, I think this was some of the most creative and, like, it's seemingly the happiest he's been in his career being able to do it.
Because he's a waste. I mean, he's not a waste. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. But you have this brilliant idea mm-hmm. that is different.
Wasted potential.
Wasted potential. You don't want to waste that potential and just put him out there as, look, it's like, I forget who said it during their feud with the Hardys, but they were like, the nostalgia acts over. You know, that's true. You can't.
I think it was the revival.
It might have been the revival. You can't just rest on the Hardy Boys' nostalgia,
right?
Because eventually, look at the Dudleys.
Because yeah,
they didn't do anything with them, and it ran out of steam,
which was just
atrocious.
When you have the Dudley Boys,
yeah, it's a war crime.
And you let that just fizzle out,
right?
I don't see how that's even possible, but here we are.
Well, you put Enzo and Cass over them hard.
That, I mean, to be fair, this was before a lot of people had turned on Enzo.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Like,
oh, when they came in, they were hot like fire.
That was a great way for them to debut.
Right.
Was like Enzo versus Bubba, like verbally sparring, was amazing.
It was.
And so, yeah, but.
But they saw more money in Enzo and Cass, and just the Dudleys kind of got swept aside.
Yeah.
And I think the Hardy Boys were in danger of that happening. If not for Jeff getting hurt and Matt doing the broken thing now, mm-hmm. I think this could be a blessing in disguise for them.
Could be, but it's like, I mean.
Depends on how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
And we'll keep you updated on that, obviously. Now, what did you think was the lead in?
I thought it was going to be the one that I put on the top of the list. with, there hasn't been an official announcement, but Cody Rhodes has confirmed that he and the Young Bucks are, and I don't, it might be other people of the Elite. I don't know, but I'm for sure it's the three of them are self-funding. They want to run a show sometime in 2018 in a 10,000 seat arena. Now, this is huge for just multiple reasons.
Right.
I don't know the last time. One, 10,000 seats is insane.
Especially for an indie show.
For an indie show. WWE house shows don't pull 10,000 attendees.
Right.
Like, so this is huge for just a one-off. Like, they're not launching a promotion. Mm-hmm. They're not, this isn't going to be like a monthly deal. This is just, they want to do a one and done. And they want to fill 10,000 seats. And also even bigger is it's coming out of their own pocket.
Right.
Like they're the ones funding this. That's kind of insane. And a lot of people are being really down on them. Like, why would you even try this? There's no way you're going to fill that. Blah, 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 blah. And that's stupid. You're trying something.
Right.
You're trying something that has the potential to be really cool.
Right.
Indie wrestling's at an all time high. These are three of arguably the biggest names in indie wrestling. I don't see, 10,000 is a lofty number. I'm not going to say that, but they don't have to sell. If they sell 8,000, that's a win.
Yeah.
If like, they sell 5,000, that's a win.
Yeah. Like, so it's just, I think it's really cool. I can't wait to see what it is. Depending on where it is, I kind of want to go. Like, especially because there's nothing but speculation. It's just people on the internet like, this is what would be cool.
Right.
Including Cody Rhodes, who says that he wants the main event to be him versus Daniel Bryan.
That's where I saw that. I knew that sounded familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. Which it won't happen
anytime soon.
Yeah. I'm assuming, depending on when in 2018. I mean, it could, because I think Daniel Bryan's contract is up in February.
Is it that early?
I think so.
Wow.
I think it was coming up pretty soon. So, I don't know where I just saw the headline, so I apologize, because normally I'm a lot better about this. But Brie Bella did an interview or like a Instagram live thing, and she said that his mission is to wrestle in WWE again. Like, he saw, you know, Kurt Angle did an interview at a Q&A and said that he thought Daniel Bryan kind of took it personally.
Yeah, because he gets to wrestle. Yeah.
Which, apples and oranges there, but that's another conversation.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Daniel Bryan could compete at this show, depending on what happens with his contract. Mm-hmm.
I know this is a crazy question, and mm-hmm. aside from we may not want Daniel Bryan to wrestle again, in period.
Right.
If he does, if take that out of the equation, mm-hmm. would you rather see him stay in WWE and wrestle, or would you rather see him go back to the indies and do cool stuff with ROH, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and the like?
I have two answers for two reasons.
Okay.
I would love to see him stay in WWE, because undoubtedly that is, because there he will have the absolute, no questions asked, best access to the best of healthcare. So if something were to go wrong, they're going to be way better equipped to be able to do that. And they have ins with so many top of the line specialists.
Right.
That's the place to do it. That said, I think creatively, there's a lot cooler things and things that I think I would rather see if he went to like Japan or ROH.
What about you, Allie? Same question.
I mean, actually like Ace's answer a lot.
Yeah,
to be honest,
that's like the best answer. He's 100% right. You can't argue with that one. I would also like to see this show. I'm not the biggest Young Bucks fan,
right?
But I do not contest their talent or their drawing ability. And I think if anybody could do it, Young Bucks and Cody, it's a lofty goal. But damn, man, that's what dreams are built on.
Right,
are lofty goals. If people just go after what's reasonable, mm-hmm. then the coolest things in the world would have never happened.
And they know the people to build a show that actually could,
right,
get that many
Jericho.
People in there.
Jericho,
Kenny Omega,
exactly.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing is, people are like, okay, well, Omega is arguably the biggest star in indie wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're the top three, he's number one,
right?
Or like, if they're top five, he's number one. The thing that people keep floating out there, and I've seen it, and I know it's impossible, but if it happened, I would buy a ticket and I would find a way to get there. If they do this in Chicago and CM Punk is scheduled to even appear.
And that would sell the arena.
I think that would be, because one, Chicago is a huge wrestling town. It is a huge wrestling market, and it's like one of the great wrestling crowds.
And it's Punk's.
And it's Punk's backyard.
Right.
It's his hometown. So I would love to go, but I don't think I'd be able to get tickets in time.
I wouldn't want to go to Chicago.
I would. I've always wanted to go to Chicago.
I want to go to Chicago.
I've never been to Chicago.
It's a big art community, so.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I'm bringing a gun.
But the it's
my cousin lived there.
I think it's possible. Like, I think they could do it, and I hope they do. Like, I hope this is a huge success for them, because yeah. it's,
and I think if anyone could get Punk, it'd be them.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those things, like, I whether or not it's a joke or if it's to be believed, but Matt Jackson had tweeted, you know, we've talked to Punk, and he said if he ever decide to do wrestling again, we're the first people he'll call.
And I have no doubt about that either.
So.
Oh, and by the way, this is UFC news, but I wanted to throw this out just real quick. We don't have to talk about it much.
It's on the list.
UFC.
Starts with Dana White.
Okay, well, this wasn't about that story, though.
Oh, okay.
But we can continue from that. Let's start with that.
Okay.
Dana White says he is unsure if Punk will fight again.
In the Octagon, yeah. So that's just because, like, he's meeting with him soon. Regarding like what his next move is going to be, but he isn't, even though Punk signed for like a multi-fight deal, he doesn't know if it'll actually end up in the Octagon again. So,
because I mean, Punk is almost 40, and that's not old. Don't get me wrong, that's not old.
But for MMA,
for an MMA fighter who started late,
right,
like that is big. I would like to say I'd love to see Punk come back to wrestling mm-hmm. because he has such a brilliant mind for it and was so talented.
And when you go back and like, there's been a couple times that I've just gone down a random like rabbit hole of YouTube clips and I'll come across a CM Punk promo or an interview or even just something just for the website that never even made it on TV. And it's just, there's no one like him.
Right.
WWE right now does not have anyone like CM Punk. There's CM Punk's the first of his kind.
Mm-hmm.
Straight edge.
Yeah.
Straight edge superstar. My other UFC story that isn't on the list is Dana White also said that Ronda Rousey, he doesn't want her to fight in UFC anymore. He said, I don't want to see another fight with her, but she refuses to retire. Because they asked him about it and he straight up said, I don't want her to fight anymore. Basically saying he's done with her, but she will not retire and he's not sure why. A lot of people on the internet are saying, yeah, right. She says I want a match. He would be scrambling to promote it. And he probably would.
Yeah.
But that's just an odd thing for him to say about one of the biggest stars in UFC history is, I don't want to see her fight again. And to be fair, she lost, what, 3 in a row? I think it was?
Something. I'm not sure.
At least 2 in a row.
But, and so a lot of her stock has fallen.
It
because
has.
Because the whole thing was she was undefeated. She wanted to retire undefeated.
And then she lost multiple times in a row.
And not only did she lose, but like the way she handled those losses weren't great.
No.
Almost
mental breakdowns.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where like, I don't know, because I haven't seen this article, I haven't seen the interview at all, so I don't know if he means, like, he doesn't want to see her fight again on a personal note, but, like, as a promoter, he would clearly throw press and everything at that, or if he means it, like, no, I don't want her in my company.
Because maybe he thinks that your stock's fallen.
Which,
I'm not interested.
Here's a guy that was willing to put John Jones back in the octagon, so.
Here's a guy willing to put Brock Lesnar in the octagon.
Yeah, if you want to put them in and you're wanting to, and you're turning on Ronda, then.
I heard the F word.
Yeah.
I heard the F word coming.
It's on its way. I had to stop myself playing pickleball with Jesse in a friggin' public setting. He's a Cuphead boss and it's, except I'm not making progress. I have to catch myself. I'm sorry. I'm getting worked up.
Some people that were talking about it said that, you know, Dana White has no problem exploiting fighters who have gone way past their prime.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Ronda Rousey different? And we don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a great question. Yeah.
Moving on, though. Goldberg. This will make Tanner happy. Goldberg set to appear in 2 episodes of The Flash, which, by the way, I think right now they're doing a huge crossover event, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like their Earth X crossover, I think.
Yeah.
I catch it when it's on Netflix. I've heard nothing but awful things about Arrow season 4.
I like to call it the Justice League on a budget. Because that's what it is. They don't have Superman, they don't have Batman or Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
but they do have Cyborg. And they have Flash. I'm pretty sure Cyborg was in the picture I saw. Because I think it was Cyborg, Flash, Arrow,
Supergirl,
the Legends of Tomorrow, mm-hmm. I forget what their names are, Adam and Dr. Freeze or Captain Cold or whatever
Captain
his name
Cold.
Is. Anyway, that's not this episode. That's where we're at. But Goldberg's going to appear in 2 episodes of it, and that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm very much excited to see him. Just like I'm hoping. I don't know. I didn't see what role he was going to play.
You're going
to
get a spear.
I better. I was talking about this with Jesse last night. at Health Point, and I was just like, I just want once like the news to come out that Goldberg accidentally like spears Grant Gustin 6 times. Like 6 different takes. It's like, okay, just remember, you hold off. Yeah, I got this. Just again.
Through the wall.
filming of The Flash suspended after Flash star breaks 6 ribs in unforeseen accident. The last one, he just pulls him up for the jackhammer and hits it.
I'll never watch any of those shows because I can never forgive Stephen Amell. It wasn't even his fault, but his Casey Jones was the worst.
Oh, really? I still haven't seen that.
The more I thought about the movie, I thought, okay, there were so many things they did right in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Bebop and Rocksteady, which Seamus is in it, so there's another tie into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked, even the Turtles were better than they were in the first one. Krang was in it, spoiler
it wasn't
alert.
It wasn't April O'Neil.
It was the April O'Neil show. But Stephen Amell as Casey Jones, as a whiny cop, instead of, do you remember Elias Koteas in the first Turtles movie?
Yeah.
As Casey Jones? That's gotta be the goalpost, right? Like, am I crazy?
It's the gold standard.
Yeah.
It's the Shelton Benjamin of Casey Jones.
So, very disappointed in that. Anyway, moving on. Another TV news. Edge is going to appear on the show Vikings.
Yes.
And not Roger Mathis?
Travesty. Yeah. Agreed.
Jerry Travesty.
That's it. Stride reference. although, to be fair, have you seen Edge with his beard?
Yeah.
No.
It's pretty epic.
Do yourself a favor and give that a quick
oh, God. That's what I need is more
bearded
competition.
I saw the new Avengers trailer.
Oh, shut your mouth. Chris Evans with that beard. Oh.
They forgot. I saw a tweet like, oh, wow, how embarrassing. They forgot to CGI Chris Evans' beard.
That would take more money. That's cool, too. Edge's going to be on Vikings. I always thought Edge was a good actor. He was one of the reasons I wanted to see Highlander Endgame. He was barely in it, though. And then he made that terrible WWE film with Jamie Kennedy, who was just a vacuum of talent.
Yeah.
I don't hate him that much. I never forgave him for the E3 thing.
Have you seen Hecklers?
I did.
The first half is great.
When he's talking about the heckling and then it gets to where he's being Jamie Kennedy, then it gets bad.
Because it's a great thing about stand-up comedians talking about, like, hecklers ruining their act and, you know, just how to deal with hecklers and terror stories. And then it's slow, like, about the midway point, he starts talking about critics reviewing Son of the Mask.
Yeah.
Which he believes is just a pinnacle of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. And then him just, like, the kind of nerdy looking dude, like, putting forth actual arguments, and he just puts the Spock hand signal in his face.
The one that always got me, and I won't say it because it's vulgar, mm-hmm. but where he's talking to the guy about the movie and he starts talking about oral sex.
Oh, yeah.
Is so uncomfortable that, like, I turned it off.
He's
I
the
think.
Worst. Yeah. It's.
Yeah. There's something we can all agree on. Jamie Kennedy is the worst. Speaking of awful, I almost said Drew Carey. Drew McIntyre, and I didn't say Galloway, confirmed the injury that he suffered at NXT War Games.
Yes.
And his estimated return you have on here is April.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It sucks. He was doing so good in NXT. Like, he had really good momentum. That match with Andrade was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was super surprised. I was surprised by the ending. It was great. Like, Zelina Vega's character work within it as well was just, everything about it was amazing. I loved that match. And then for the last move to
be the one.
And because I told Dalton, I was like, oh, well, so Drew McIntyre is a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble, right? Because that's in January.
Loses the title, goes to the main roster.
Just goes to the main roster, and that would have been amazing. And so I was kind of hoping, like, oh, maybe it's a worked thing and he will come back still, but I don't, it's looking more and more like he's, I think it said he didn't have to have surgery. I don't remember that. I don't remember 100% sure if that's true or not, though. But so hopefully a speedy recovery. Whether he comes back to NXT or back to the main roster, either way, he's a credit to whatever brand gets him.
Oh, absolutely. And he, I'm gonna just check one thing real quick.
Even with his new music is growing on me. The only reason I immediately hated it was because it wasn't Broken Dreams.
Yeah, that is the best wrestling theme.
It was so good. But then the gallantry has...
It won you over.
It's grown on me.
It won you over. I've always been a fan of Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. And Drew Galloway when he was in TNA. He's a talent. And I'm... Man, injuries suck.
Yes.
And we're feeling that even more now because so many of our
sick
favorites
of my friends getting hurt.
Yeah, so many of our favorites in CCW are getting hurt.
It started as a joke, but in January is a cage. Every match in a steel cage. February better be a no contact allowed debate night.
Just pillows.
No, you could load Jeff O'Dell will load those pillows up with iron coals.
Yeah,
that's true.
Is that a thing?
Iron coals? I don't think so.
I meant iron railroad spikes.
He just load them up with his tie clips and
there's a lot of those. That's heavy. Wrestle Kingdom 12 sells 20,000 tickets, and I'm assuming it's 80% ahead, like, at this point last time.
Yes.
It's so far ahead.
Yeah, it sold 80% more tickets ahead of where it was in this time frame for Wrestle Kingdom 11.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, we talked about a couple weeks ago how well the tickets were selling.
This event feels more like WrestleMania than WrestleMania has felt in a long time.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, I mean, between the Sling Blade title match debut, you have Jericho Omega, Naito,
Ibushi.
Ibushi versus Cody.
Oh, that match.
Naito Okada. Like, every match that's been announced so far has just been huge.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, and I agree with Dalton 100% that we have to order it and watch it. Although I continue to stress that the time zone differences between here and Japan, we may be watching it at 4 in the morning.
Which... If we could do like a super early morning thing, like not live necessarily.
But watch it a few hours after the fact.
Watch it, like stay off our phones, stay, you know, avoid spoilers.
Avoid human
watch.
Contact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
oh no, whatever will I do? I'm in awe. Like, I genuinely feel bad because, like,
me too.
At CCW shows, like, people come up and, like, and I'll talk and I try to be, like, polite and engaging, but I get so uncomfortable, like, just in public with that many people. And I feel like I come across as, like,
aloof,
a dick.
Oh, that too.
And I just, like, I don't mean to. I just, when I'm around a lot of people and if it's someone, like, and I don't know particularly well, it's just, I'm just like,
because we
I
genuinely just, love you guys.
Yeah. Like,
we genuinely
just,
do.
And I just kind of like, yeah, this, it's cool. Just, oh God, what do I do with my hands? Where am
I'm only like that if you take me out of the entertainment scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, since I'm there ring announcing, I can talk to anybody.
Right.
But like today, John Johnson, who is a CCW fan, came into the store and was talking to me about wrestling. And I was so awkward.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people understand that you get me away from a microphone.
It's,
and I'm a completely different person.
I'm totally starting to understand like how some of the people are in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you see the personality in the ring and then you go back and you talk to them. It's like, oh, you're like a human being.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay. So like, you know, we do the CCW live, we do this, you do the ring announcing. And it's just like, okay, I get it. And now I'm just like, hi. Yeah.
I have to be human?
What?
Allie's just Allie all the time.
Yeah.
And so is Dalton, to be fair.
Yeah.
Dalton's Dalton. You and I are probably the most uncomfortably awkward people in the world.
Yeah. I can be pretty uncomfortably
awkward.
Well,
I said you're you. You're always awkwardly uncomfortable.
Then why wouldn't I be the most
I said we.
Hey, so speaking of New Japan.
Speaking of
pro
New Japan,
wrestling.
They've opened an English YouTube channel.
Yes.
Good on them.
Which I meant to, give me 1 second, I'll find what that actually is. Because okay. I meant to do that earlier and I forgot.
While you're doing that, we'll
professional.
We'll talk real quick about AJ.
And real quick too, to kind of add to that, it's a big part of the New Japan is pushing westward.
Yeah.
Like they are.
As they should.
They are expanding and it's huge and it's amazing because they have arguably some of the best wrestling in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the roster is stacked.
I don't want to use the term the kids use, but they're killing it.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
Like
it's
the
on
like
fleek.
Button.
Allie, it's on fleek.
I heard.
That's what you guys say that, right?
I don't say that. I know people.
Can you say it
do.
Real quick? Can you say it's on fleek?
Nah, I'm good.
Can you say it's razor?
No.
What do you say when something's cool?
Oh, that's cool. I'm real lame, sorry.
Lame is cool. Tattoo. Miss that guy.
It's been a while since we've seen him.
It has been. Yeah. Anyway, while Ace is looking that up.
I think it's just New Japan Pro Wrestling on YouTube.
The English one?
Yeah. I think that might just be their only...
I wouldn't say.
Yeah, it is. Okay, because they already have a bunch of videos up of like interviews and backstage stuff and post-match stuff, so it's
just New
Japan. I was like,
Pro
wow,
Wrestling?
there's too many videos on this to be a new channel. But yeah, it is just New Japan Pro Wrestling. Search it on YouTube and you'll be able to find it.
Cool. Okay. And I will do that because I need to catch up on my NJPW before
Wrestle Kingdom
12. Because Dalton is the first person I will give Dalton credit. He was the first person that got me to watch Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right after we became friends, he wanted me to watch AJ Styles versus Nakamura. I had no idea who Nakamura was, and of course I'd always been an AJ Styles fan, and that's how he got me.
Yeah.
And it was so good, he was absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for this. Speaking of AJ Styles, rumors, I don't know if he hinted at this or if it's speculation.
It started as kind of a throwaway comment that he's made a couple times. And has just snowballed into speculation, into people making up headlines and people running with headlines. Because AJ has said that he wants to retire somewhat when he's somewhat young so he can spend time with his family. And he's not one of these guys who can't move around because his body's so beat up. AJ Styles is not a spring chicken. Like he's not old by any stretch, but he's probably in the prime of his career right now.
He's 40.
So there were a lot of rumors going around that after WrestleMania 34, he was going to call it quits and retire, but he flat out said that no, that's not true.
Which one's 34? Is that this year?
I think so.
Oh, that's way too early.
Yeah,
because the headline.
I think it's next WrestleMania. I think this is 33 coming up. Let me see.
Yeah, I think 33 is coming up.
So 2 years.
Because the last WrestleMania, I'm pretty sure, was the one that Shane had 32 on his back.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, either
way.
No, either
WrestleMania 33 was April 2nd,
2017. Okay, then I'm thinking about 2 WrestleManias ago.
Yeah, because that was also the image that I had in my head.
Well, still. All right, so this year, absolutely too soon. But the headline that I saw said that AJ Styles to retire in a few years. And I thought, well, that makes sense because I don't think AJ Styles would want to wrestle when he's 50.
But people have just kind of been pushing the timeline up and up and up and up.
Right.
And to where it's gotten like, oh, he's going to retire in 6 months.
It's hard
to retire tomorrow.
It's hard to retire from this business. It's so, and I will say that even from what we do, like with the commentary and the ring announcing and stuff, I said on multiple occasions, and it frustrated you guys, I know it did, that I wanted to step away and not do it anymore. Just because I, like AJ Styles, I wanted time to do other stuff. Like I wanted to spend time with my girlfriend. I wanted to pursue other creative interests. But once you're around the wrestlers and the promotion and you hear the crowd and stuff like that, it's so hard to walk away. You know, you love it. We love this business so much, from the commentary to the announcing to the wrestlers to the promoters. Like, this is the most rewarding and frustrating business in the entire world. Both sides.
Yes.
Sorry, that's my thing. I'm going to turn my mic off now.
No.
Okay, dumb.
I'm going to have to piss Allie off at least one point tonight so she turns her mic off and pushes the mic forward.
Or not.
And then I'll yell at her and tell her, stop talking. I'm talking. Anyway. Ruby Riott.
Uh-huh.
Has a name change.
Yeah.
And so Allie
changed
said,
a lot.
Allie said before the show, so what's Ruby Riott's new name? Ruby Riott with an extra T. Well, Taz is on the phone.
Because I saw... Well, that was another thing. People lost their minds when they added that Z. Or took away the Z or whichever one it was.
They added the Z because of Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But so, yeah, it's... I saw the headline and it was Ruby Riott gets it, but it was spelled normal and it's like gets a minor name change. I assumed they were changing the Y to an I.
Right.
Is what I thought it was going to be. And it took me having to read it like three different times to notice that there was an extra T.
When I read it, it said it had an extra T in the name. Mm-hmm. And I assumed, and
Ruby
I
T. Riott?
Yeah. I don't know why I thought it was Ruby T. Riott. And I'm like, that is the stupidest name I've ever heard. Joey Jim Bob Joe Bob. I read that it's something about like there was a band or something. They saw something, some videos went online of this thing called Ruby Riott. I don't know. And like you said, copyright because Ruby and Riott are so common.
Yeah.
There's so many reasons this happened. Like, I think it's silly, but whatever. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
Not a huge deal.
Yeah. It's not really going to change anything. It's just so WWE can trademark the Ruby Riott name as a whole. So
this isn't like when they changed the name of the, what was it called? The Submission Sorority or something like that.
Sorority Submission. Yeah.
And they found out there was like a porn channel that was that.
Something like that. Yeah.
So this isn't that. It's kind of silly, but whatever. Speaking of Ruby Riott and that whole thing, so the big rumor was that Paige was going to be the leader of this NXT women's thing, and that's why you had both of those things going on Raw and SmackDown. And to me, I thought, okay, that makes sense, right? We have had no confirmation of that on TV. It's just continued with the two groups that are so similar to each other.
But now they have their own name.
Yes,
they each have it's
the Riott Squad.
The Riott Squad is on SmackDown, and Absolution is Paige's group on Raw.
I
still think, and I think Dalton, he'll correct me tomorrow if I'm not right. I think we're on the same page. I think it could still be revealed that this is a combined effort and that they are working together. Because man, I just don't see such similar things happening. Just a night apart.
Right.
Like, that's like, oh, it's because Vince runs both shows.
You know what this reminds me of?
If Vince only did Raw and someone else and SmackDown was a totally different thing and it was just a, like, the SmackDown writers are watching Raw and that happens and like, oh no.
Yeah.
Because what's about to happen on SmackDown the next night? Like, then maybe that's in the realm of possibility, but it's not because Vince runs both shows. It's just too similar. I don't see it not being related somehow.
I think they would wait to like reveal that Paige is behind.
That would build it too. Yeah.
Because why wouldn't they?
There has to be some kind of crossover though, like a phone call, a text, or something. Because Paige obviously can't go on SmackDown because she's booked on Raw. They're presenting them as two different brands.
I don't know what you're talking about. People on SmackDown and Raw just jump. Security's on high alert. Not anymore. Survivor Series is over, so no one cares. She could just walk right in. They wouldn't even know.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the Nexus and the Core. You remember that stupid-ass angle when you had the Nexus on one show and the Core on the other, and they were the same group with the same people, even?
Slater misspelled Core on the patent, on the trademark application.
It was C-O-R-R-E. Yes, it was. And that was the... one of the worst things.
But it was because they totally botched the Nexus thing right. in general. So,
if this is something like that, where they literally have these two groups doing something similar, one, it's a bad idea. It makes much more sense for Paige to mastermind this. It gives Paige the rub as the anti-diva mastermind. That's mm-hmm. a cool story. Mm-hmm. And plus, I think, and if you don't agree with me, you know, let me know. But I think if you have on Raw Paige, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville, and then on SmackDown you have Liv Morgan.
I don't think that's right.
Oh, Sarah Logan. Yeah. Sarah Logan. And then on SmackDown you have Sonya Deville, Liv Morgan, and Ruby Riott. I don't dislike any of them.
Oh, no, yeah.
But
like,
Paige's group is going to, in the realm of like internet mm-hmm. fandom and stuff, is going to crush that group. And since they're so similar, there's a good chance that Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Sonya Deville could suffer because of
it. And they're going to just look like, oh, well, that's just the knockoff version of what they're doing on Raw.
And Paige is
an established star at
right,
this point.
Paige mm-hmm. is the star. So she's obviously going to get the attention.
This is what I kind of think. And if this is totally out of the realm of possibility, tell me. I kind of think, so we saw Money Women's in the Bank. I've seen online people are kind of speculating, and I don't entirely disagree. I think that we could. It would be kind of small, so I don't know if I would want it to happen. There's a possibility we might get a women's Royal Rumble.
I've seen that too, yeah.
In January. Now, that said, that would be a good time to kind of let both groups do their own thing and then have the final three be Paige, Ruby Riott, and Charlotte or Sasha Banks or Bayley or whoever. And then you have, like, it looks like Ruby Riott and Paige and Bayley are about to team up. Ruby turns on Bayley, and then, like, that's where we see the loyalty.
That's where
we see that collusion, and that's where it comes full circle. I don't know, like, if that would work, because it seems like there are two different groups with two different motivations, whereas Paige's motivation is much stronger, given her promo on Monday.
Right.
Versus, you know, Ruby Riott's just like, yeah, no, we're just here to wreck
stuff.
Like, we're here to make a statement and make a name for ourselves.
I'm basically Paige, but without the reasoning.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Yeah, it's...
I think they could do better with them. You can't put three hot women NXT wrestlers just in a group without reasoning. Oh, here they are. Look at them. They're beating people up. Well, like, you got to give us a reason.
It's one of those things where if they're not given a chance to show their personality, I'm willing to bet that all three are talented enough that, especially Ruby Riott, I don't think there's anyone who would argue that Ruby Riott's not the best wrestler in that group.
Right.
And I'm saying that as a fan, like, I like Sonya Deville more than a lot of people.
I've not seen much of her.
But I'm willing to put that, I'm willing to stake that. That I
like Liv Morgan.
I like
other than
that first, like, 5 seconds of Liv Morgan that we get.
The worst.
just the worst. Like, they're all talented, and I think that they would be able to get themselves over just based on their in-ring ability, except we've seen, even still, the women are not given the same platform as the men in opportunities, and now with such stacked rosters for the women's side, it's going to be even harder. So,
and the other side,
they definitely can't just be seen as the knockoff Paige group.
The other side of that we haven't addressed yet is a lot of people in WWE, according to sources, are nervous. We're adding these new people to the roster. Something's got to give, and people are worrying that they might lose their job. You know, we've seen budget cuts before, and it's I don't know, because I don't work there,
right?
But I don't think you have to fire people because you're bringing these guys in. But at the same time, in that like situation, I could see you being nervous about it.
Yeah,
you know. Especially if you're in the women's roster.
Especially because, you know, okay, there's only so many segments they're going to dedicate to the women's roster.
Yeah.
And now,
way that they treat them.
And they wrote off Becky Lynch so she can go film the Marine. Naomi, they went overboard with, like,
multiple injuries.
Multiple contusions to the face, sprained neck, dislocated shoulder.
They're, like, really writing her off.
Yeah. Which, it's like, okay. Do we not know something here or what happened? Because it seems like that's the kind of thing that they should have done to Becky.
Right.
If Becky's going to be missing an extended period of time to film the movie.
Right.
So I don't know. But
you remember that time that The Miz was going to go film a movie and they had a match between him and, was it Damian Sandow? Over, like, who gets to use the gimmick or whatever. And instead of having Damian Sandow win, The Miz won, only to leave immediately for months.
Yep.
Oh, I hated that.
Didn't they also do the same thing because it was... because I can only think of her Instagram handle, and it's Summer because Rae. Summer Rae turned on Sandow
to join Miz,
and they both immediately just left
to film the Marine.
Yeah, that was weird.
So yeah, everything you say plausible, and I hate it.
Oh,
also speaking of Raw and SmackDown, I didn't see any of SmackDown. So I don't know, other than I knew Naomi got hurt and that AJ Styles beat the Singh brothers, which at that point, what's his name? Jinder Mahal mm-hmm. turned on the Singh brothers and destroyed them.
To be fair, he hit his finisher on one of them, but he also attacked them when he lost the championship. So this doesn't necessarily mean he's turned on them or they're broken up as a
He
faction.
Just used them as,
he's
anger.
He's taking out his frustrations on them.
That's a bad boss.
Yeah. I don't know
if I want Will Ferrell as my boss if he's going to kill me with a trident. now Raw, I do know that we talked about Matt Hardy.
Just real quick on SmackDown, something that kind of the New Day beat Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. And I don't know why, because like the Usos are the tag champs, they were on commentary. It seems like we were getting Gable and Benjamin were being led up to be they're being primed to be the new contenders. Yeah. So for them to, unless they're going to do a triple threat route before they do their one-on-one shot, if they do that, I thought that was kind of weird. Also, how are you not going to mention the Hype Bros? Did you see the Hype Bros?
Yeah.
R.I.P.
So the Hype Bros lost in quick fashion.
To the Bludgeon Brothers.
To the Bludgeon Brothers again.
Again, I just want to reiterate. Love it. Love everything about it. Take away the hammers. Take away the name. Call them the Reapers. Yes.
Let them be what they were destined to be.
Yes.
Mojo Rawley turns on Zack Ryder and obliterates Zack Ryder. So now we get... and. I'm not even going to have hope for this. Here's what's going to happen. Mojo Rawley is going to fight Zack Ryder in either the pre-show or one of the opening matches at the next SmackDown pay-per-view. Mojo Rawley is going to win. Mojo Rawley is going to be primed for some title run.
Next time a face is on the U.S. Championship.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Zack Ryder will go back to losing to the Bludgeon Brothers weekly, probably. Just in single matches, one-on-one. So screw you.
Yeah, you're not.
Screw all of that.
You're not wrong. It's
I'm so mad about that. Like, I don't even hate Mojo Rawley. You guys hate Mojo Rawley.
I do.
And I have defended him.
You have.
I have. But, like, other than the fact that he's friends with Gronkowski, Jesse, I don't see how anyone sees more money in Mojo Rawley than Zack freaking Ryder.
Oh, it's because when the fans are chanting, "We want Ryder," it's hard to count the money and to dole out the brass rings. It's distracting.
you gotta
lower him down.
When they say "we want Ryder," he's pretty sure they're talking about like tractors.
To leave. Like,
that too.
We
want Ryder to lose to Mojo Rawley. You don't hear the other part.
Right.
Yeah. Well, go to hell. That's all I'll say to that. on Raw, Finn Balor continued his, can we talk about what's happening with Finn Balor? The big rumor is that he's not over enough and that Vince McMahon pulled him from the Royal Rumble main event against Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's made fun of that the most? Finn Balor.
Oh, yeah. Him
Oh, man.
The Thanksgiving one where he's holding the turkey. I will not.
I'm
not over cooking this turkey this Thanksgiving.
Yeah. He has taken this to town.
His response to Roman Reigns saying that anyone who wants a title shot to step up. I won't step up. I'll step over.
If this is not a gimmick that Finn Balor is like, they told him, okay, you can do this. He is just teasing the cat in the hen house. Is that a saying from Dr. Phil?
From Dr. Phil, maybe.
No.
There was a poll. I'm going to see if I can find it now because I voted at work today. There's a who should face Brock Lesnar who should face Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. And it was a big list of superstars, and Finn Balor had 61% of the vote. Everyone else was like 8, 9, 4.
But Asa, that's just the internet fans. And we have argued in the past about whether or not they're catering to the internet fans or they're still catering to like the casuals, quote unquote. I hate that term. But I could see someone saying, hey, Vince, look, Finn Balor got 61% of the vote in the fan thing. Well, that's just the internet.
Right.
That's just 400-pound guys sitting in their mom's basement. I don't care about them. It's the kids. I want their money.
Mm-hmm.
Who's second place?
I don't remember. And there's a different poll up right now.
But on Raw, I'm pretty sure Finn Balor got beat up by Kane again, right?
He came out and challenged Kane. Kane got DQ'd. So he beat Kane.
Yes.
Finn Balor beat Kane.
But I mean, Kane beat him with a chair, but he beat Kane.
But he also needed a chair.
Oh God. Oh God. You're just holding on to hard. The big thing is that Braun Strowman came out and then obliterated Kane to pay him back for last week. Mm-hmm. Someone said, since he did the throat thing, what if Kane comes back at the pay-per-view with the voice modulator? Yeah. That'd be fun, right?
But then Kane got the upper hand this time, didn't he?
That was last week. Okay. Braun left him laying this week.
Yeah, I'm getting them backwards.
So they're sacrificing Finn to Kane to sacrifice Kane to Braun. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Like, I get Kane beating Finn is big because Finn is big.
Right.
But now that it's coming out that, we don't think Finn is big, now I'm legitimately worried about what are they going to do with Finn Balor at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just the Irish thing. Like, I really think Finn Balor is one of the best talents.
Oh yeah. Well, and like one of the first things that he posted after, this whole report of Vince thinks he's not over enough, which again, totally unsubstantiated rumor. This is
internet
pure
rumor.
Speculation Dirt on cheap. The internet. One of the first things he posted was him doing the entrance pose to an arena full of people doing it with him. And then like the next thing he posted was him holding the Universal Championship after he pinned Roman Reigns. Like, so it's hard for me to think that, I don't want to think, it's plausible because we've seen it happen before, that Vince would sour on someone that he was so high on so quickly.
Ken Kennedy. That was kind of Kennedy's fault.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there was also
Drew McIntyre.
There was a wellness thing. Again, like there were bigger steps taken that like from the competitor, like Finn got hurt. Yeah. And that hurt some of his momentum, but he didn't get a police report filed on
him. He's clean.
He didn't get a wellness policy test.
Right.
So I don't know. Also, and again, this is all speculation. So what do I know?
Vince McMahon is going to tell you that Finn Balor is not over enough to fight Brock Lesnar, but Vince McMahon put the title on Jinder Mahal. And I get the India deal. That's why that happened. Of course. But Vince put the title on Great Khali. Vince saw money in what was that guy?
Vladimir Kozlov.
Oh, I kind of liked Kozlov when he teamed when he teamed with Morella, and he was that was funny. Now, what was that guy's name? Heidenreich.
Oh,
like
yeah.
All these people that Vince McMahon apparently saw money in, but he doesn't see it in Finn Balor, former leader of the originator of the Bullet Club, right?
Yep.
One of the greatest talents we have today. That's insane, and that's why it's probably true.
Well, and I wonder too if like the rumors coming out of what was the show before Survivor Series? The Raw one. TLC. Mm. Where Balor and AJ did the Too Sweet in the ring.
Oh, right. The punishment for that.
And so they're punishing Balor, which would be silly because if I'm remembering right, AJ instigated that.
And if I remember correctly, AJ's the champion.
Currently the WWE champion. So that doesn't make...
Now, of course, if they only put the title on AJ Styles, so Jinder would be protected against Lesnar, and now they're going to put it right back on Jinder. Let's just say this might be an unpleasant show in the future.
But now, it kind of hurts his momentum having to him getting kind of manhandled by Kane in these previous weeks. I'll concede that point. But what happens when Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar come to the ring and say there's no one for Joe to fight, or there's no one for Lesnar to fight? He's beaten Joe. He's beaten Strowman. He's beaten Roman. He's beaten everybody. There's no one, and Balor just blindsides him.
That'd be
just out of nowhere.
If they
because Heyman has been like every promo that Heyman has cut has somehow he's worked Balor into the conversation. He flat out said that after that six pack challenge or whatever it was, he wanted Balor to win. Like that's who he was rooting for.
Right.
So I mean, those seeds have been planted. And yes, WWE can absolutely just totally ignore that because they've done it before.
Yes, they have.
But I'm not willing to totally write him out of the main event of Royal Rumble until we see who is actually announced.
Until Kane comes out to the Royal Rumble to fight Lesnar for the title.
Yeah.
We will still have hope in Balor.
I'll be the only person excited for that.
I won't be, because the moment he picks Kane up and throws him across the ring, you're going to be like, no, he's a mayor. He should be. All right, let's talk about CCW.
Yes.
Last thing on the show, we're going to talk about CCW. We had Knockout November 2. On Saturday, and last show of the year. We started back up in January. Mm-hmm. First off, great show.
Yeah,
really good show. Now, yes, we work for CCW. Mm-hmm. We officially work for CCW, but that does not mean that CCW is above criticism and wondering.
Right.
I have a criticism.
Okay.
And tell me if you noticed this too, because Allie and I talked about it. She saw it too, and this is in no way a shot at anyone that performed. But did it not seem like there was more than one spot in that show where there was miscommunication somewhere. Take Jeff Odell in the Van Horn match. Mm-hmm. At the end of the match, he gets up on the apron to distract the ref while Sarge goes for it. That's a classic spot. Something happens and then he gets screwed. No, Sarge gets it. Ref turns around and rings the bell. That's it. When Hollis went for the chain, ref saw it. That spot, like, there were so many spots that seemed like they were leading to something, only for it to go nowhere. And I wondered, was that intentional, or do you think that was just a miscommunication?
I think it was intentional. I think the story is Jeff Odell is cracking. And the Pinnacle are, they've relied on these tricks so many times, and now they're not working anymore.
The
refs are smartening up. The talent is smartening up. I think that that is the story that's being told. And don't get me wrong, like, It's wrestling. There will be missed cues. There will be miscommunications. That's no one's fault. Like, that's just things that happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
In wrestling.
I did one. if you're right, because that makes sense. And we thought that too. We said, well, maybe that's the thing. But that's, if Jason's listening to this and that's not the case and he's going to make it that the case now, make it that the case. then that's one thing. But if that's his plan, that's really smart. And I think it very well could be because Jason's a clever guy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, for all the crap that we give him, like, this isn't the storyline show. We can give actual
right. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Like,
because it seemed awkward.
I think Jeff is talented enough, and honestly, like, looking at Hollis and Sarge and even like Kelly and Lane, like, all the crap we give the referees because, oh, you missed that call, like,
you can't count to three, Lane,
right? Or, you know, the heels doing the clap.
Oh, I hate that spot.
The
especially
clap.
When they're like an arm's length away from each other. Like,
as
are
a
you
child,
serious?
That made me so mad.
So doing the fake tag and like, we give the referees crap because they're supposed to miss that call.
We're part of the show.
And so, yeah, so now, you know, they're smartening up. I think that they're all talented enough and good enough that it could be tricky to do well. And it could come across as awkward.
Well, if they did it well, it would come across awkward.
Right.
Like, it's come across exactly like it should
because
have.
Because Hollis didn't get to use the chain.
Right. Which Jeff didn't distract so Van Horn could win.
So Sarge got the win. So, because I kind of had the same thought. Like, oh, that was kind of...
That was an odd ending.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. But it makes sense if that's what they're going for.
Because to me...
It could have just been, oh, there were a couple of miscommunications during these matches. But even if they were just genuine, like, that's not what was supposed to happen... The thing about wrestling is, a referee catching the heel cheating and not letting him is something that would happen if it was an actual competition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like either way, if it's either this is the story that they want to tell or it's a story they didn't want to tell, I think
it works out.
It works
way.
Out okay.
Yeah, because to me, I mean, I don't want to play armchair booker, but it would have made, I thought it would have made more sense if Van Horn had won the match because then Sarge would have wanted the rubber match. To see who, you know, takes the whole thing. But now Sarge is up 2-0, but it did make sense at the end because Van Horn beat him up. Even though Sarge won, Van Horn beat him up again.
It's the personal vendetta.
It's personal vendetta.
It's not about the wins at this point. It's about the fact that, okay, I just hate you.
Right.
And I want to hurt you.
Now, to be fair, just to show that I'm humble and that I'll admit when I make a mistake. So before the show, Jason comes to me and says, okay. And he asked me this twice to make sure I got it. He said, all right, so you're going to announce Marnie. She's going to come out and fight Nikki Lane. After a while, the music's going to stop, and then they're going to cue Little Bit's music. Little Bit makes a return, and then you announce her. And I go, okay, I can do that. And he asked me twice, okay, you good on that? Yeah, sure. So Marnie's music starts. She doesn't come out. Little Bit's music starts up. And as I look around, I see the crowd looks confused, which is what they're supposed to be.
Right.
Now, for some reason in my head, that meant, oh, you better say something quick so nobody, like, boos. Or something. I don't know why I had that thought. It was irrational. So I announced a little bit 20 seconds before she actually walked through the curtain. And I felt like shit after that.
And did you see what Megan told you tonight?
No, I did not see that.
She said you did a fantastic job.
Well, of course she's going to say
that. Don't
worry
about
it. She's so nice. But yeah, no, it's not often that I mess up professionally, like, badly. So every time I mess up in I mess up in personal life all the time. Like, all the time. It's the standard. But professionally, I'm fairly solid. I felt terrible after that. Well, and I sent Jason a message saying, please apologize to Megan, because I feel like I ruined her big return.
Right.
And it's like, oh, of all the things
to
botch.
Now you're willing to say it's a return.
Son of a bitch.
let's be real. This is your third show.
It is.
That you've been a ring announcer.
Yeah.
So you're doing great.
I'm learning as I go.
and you're and but you're good at it.
Thank
like you have a knack for being on the microphone, and you have a good voice for it. You're great at engaging with the crowd.
That's my favorite part.
So
the we did this thing in intermission where Dalton came in halfway through the show because
that's not even true at all. He came in. The boy's a felon. I don't.
10 minutes after the show started,
we're not going to give speeds or times.
Really,
but he missed the first 10 minutes of the show.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He saw the ending of the first match.
Well, he should pay for a damn ticket. Then it sounds like. but during the intermission, somebody booed something I said, and I said, "Oh, don't boo that. If you're going to boo anything, boo Dalton. He just came in." So the crowd just immediately boos Dalton to no end because I have conditioned the CCW crowd. To hate Dalton, or at least pretend they hate Dalton. And it was one of my favorite things we've ever done because we got the crowd into it. Brandon actually removed Dalton. And then we had Dalton come back in. Mm-hmm. And that's when I heard you say something and I ran. I was like, no, Asa, say that again. And you said, Dalton didn't, it was you say.
No, because Billy then got involved.
Oh, Billy told to throw the other fan out who said they supported
because,
Dalton.
Because there was someone who said, no, I like Dalton on the shows. Like,
yeah.
And so that wasn't supposed to be like mocking your voice at all if you're listening to this. So I apologize. Like, I don't want you to
just go
that.
To that voice when we do
Yeah. Cause it's just, oh, someone's supporting Dalton. So I'm going to use that voice. So right. I apologize. And now I feel really bad. So Billy was going to kick him out. And then Dalton immediately like turned on that person too. I don't remember what he said, but he was running his mouth to Billy. And I was like, wait, no, Dalton, you're the one that wanted to make the shirt that says I broke Billy Hills' back.
Oh.
Because it was, you know, Billy shoved Dalton on CCW Live.
Right.
And then it was at that next show that he had gotten hurt.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do we have that gift yet?
Which it was.
No, we need to.
It was super good to see Billy.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was super happy to see him.
I sat back there with him the entire show. It was fun.
I was bummed Sarah wasn't there.
Me too. When I saw Billy, I thought, oh, good, Sarah's here. I want to talk to Sarah.
I did too.
But no Sarah.
No Sarah.
And by the way, you could easily find people in that locker room. Because it was basically just a closet.
It was a garage.
You literally just kind of stepped into it, and there everyone was.
Yeah.
And so.
And there was a, you finish that story, and then I have to tell another embarrassing
story.
This one's not really a
story as much as just, again, we mentioned it at the top of the show, but, unfortunately, Nikki Lane did get pretty severely injured, fractured, I think it was her orbital bone or eye socket.
Yeah.
And
I didn't get to see the move, because I was talking to Jason and Billy.
From our understanding, it was supposed to be throws a running knee. Nikki sits down and avoids it and then goes into a roll-up. But the timing was off or something happened, and the running knee made full contact. And it, like, from the moment it hit, like, she landed and immediately was holding her face and just clutching it. And it wasn't selling. It wasn't, you know, she wasn't moving. Mm-hmm. And they try to continue, like, a little bit, try to kind of stay on offense, and she just was not.
Right.
Like, not no-selling it because she was no-selling offense. Like, she was just, like, she just fractured her eye bone.
And that's where I saw. I saw after that point where she was just laying down, face down, and then they went to the awkward pin.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to come out of nowhere. And I remember asking Jason, I said, was that the end of the match?
But it was one of those things, like, as soon as it happened, I knew. Like, I was like, oh, this is, like, something's wrong.
Marco knew, too.
Yeah.
You can tell that's why he got on the apron.
Mm-hmm. So it was.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I saw Marco get up on the apron, and that was another where I thought, well, that's awkward.
But I think he noticed something, and he was trying to distract from what was happening in the ring.
Right.
Yeah. So that was really unfortunate, and.
Because you hate to see injuries, and we love Nikki. Nikki's so sweet.
She's always been so nice to us. Yeah. The matches they have together are a lot of fun to watch. Like, their chemistry together is, they're dynamic.
The three women in CCW, Sarah, Megan, and Nikki are all just amazing together.
And I genuinely thought that what could happen is Sarah eventually would win the championship from Nikki, and then, or if Little Bit or Mardi Gras beat Nikki for the championship, when Sarah challenges, she gets the win on one or the other. But then the next month, she pins Mardi Gras and Whit becomes the champion. The next month, Little Bit comes out. He's like, no, you pin Mardi Gras. Little Bit's the champion. Read the contract. Like, do something, like, and then you could, like, that's how that turn could happen. And I know, and like, Jason, I completely understand. That is, like, complicated and kind of dumb, but that's how my brain works.
My brain was basically what we said at CCW Live. Like, I wasn't joking. Mm-hmm. I think at the next show, Sarah should come out in Mardi Gras styled gear and say, I'm Mardi Gras. I lost my title. I want my rematch. Mm-hmm. And Little Bit playing up the, I'm a split personality, kind of look at her and go, wait, what? And then they have their match, and then Sarah wins as Mardi Gras and destroys Little Bit's mind. Her head literally explodes in the ring. But yeah, that's my idea. Jason, you can have that one too. It's all free here.
But if you're a fan listening to this, erase it so you are surprised when it happens.
Patreon.com/podzilla1985. The show was really good though. It really was. It's the last show of the year and it felt very intimate. Everybody was loud too. I love that.
Jason said it best towards the end of the night. Like that wasn't there were a couple first time fans and if you're a first time fan there, thank you so much for coming. Hopefully you keep coming back.
Yes.
But like that was the group of diehard CCW faithful.
Yep.
Like that, you know, it's a smaller arena, so there were fewer tickets available. I think they said it was a sellout.
It looked like a sellout.
So, it was totally packed and everybody was into it, like the entire show.
Right.
So that was awesome to see. The only thing that I can say that was a negative of the show is we got there a lot later than normal.
Yeah, we did. And I felt terrible about that too. And they sure gave me shit about it when I got to the back.
So I didn't get to, like, I didn't really get a chance to, like, say hi to everybody or, like, I said hi to everybody, but I didn't have a chance to actually, like, talk to everyone there.
Yeah.
So.
Cause the show was, it's like we got there and as soon as we got there 5 minutes later, it's go time.
Yeah, it was like 10, 15 minutes later. So, mm-hmm. and I spent a lot of that time talking to Billy about the, Greenhouse Beard Company.
Cause
that guy was there and I got my shirt and my, yellow snow. Oil.
Nice.
It smells really good. It smells like Sprite.
It was great seeing everybody.
Yeah. And it's one of those scenes that's like, man, I wish I could have spent more time with everyone because there's not a show in December.
Right.
And all I can think of is the
I
Dave
miss those guys.
All I can think of is the Dave Chappelle. Y'all got any more of them CCW shows?
It was great. I got to talk to Lee Montgomery because Lee and I don't get to talk much generally. And me and him went through a thing where we weren't exactly on the best of terms. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't say any more than that, but we've really kind of talked more since, you know, the past couple of months. And I genuinely like Lee.
Yeah.
And I like seeing him. And, you know, we bro fisted and kind of hugged a little bit. And that was nice.
You gave him the whoop whoop.
I did. I got the crowd to chant whoop whoop at the beginning. I was so happy about that. I got, you know, Ken Murphy was there and I love Ken. Whatever. I do love Ken. Barry, I got to do stuff with him. Me and him actually got on the mic together and did some stuff. That was a lot of fun.
That was funny.
Barry's really good on the mic. He's very charismatic. And then of course Jason even got on the mic at the end, which is unusual.
And he
for
even
him.
Pointed out, he's like, wow, I haven't actually been on a microphone in front of a bunch of people in a while.
Yeah. Right. So that was all great. Everyone worked their asses off and it was a fantastic show. If I had to give my points to like the best things about it, Jackson Crowley, I know he didn't wrestle, but Jesus Christ, the things he did.
The things he did, including, cause legitimately the man has two broken bones in his leg.
Yeah.
Like he's healing, he's on the mend, his cast is off, and that's amazing.
Yeah. So
Are you thinking?
Yeah.
Precious cargo, man.
I knew him and Ace went over it.
And him selling. It's that thing where it's like, quit being good at this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I need you to just like.
Because no one that broke their leg should be taking moves to the leg.
Right.
There was a point where Lane Austin actually told Ace, stop, he's hurt, he's injured. And I thought it was real. I was like, I wanted to yell on the mic, Ace, stop, he's injured.
And I know right now if they're listening to this, they're just like, ha-ha.
They're laughing
like,
their asses line off. Sinker. Yep. Laughing their beautiful asses off.
So we were sitting next to Jay Wellington Beauregard.
Yes.
I got to sit next to him, which I felt bad because I felt like I was super uncomfortable.
I tipped my hat. You're welcome.
I tried to, like, because I talked to him for a little bit and, like, super nice guy. And
oh, yeah.
But it's one of those things where. I need to get over it, but I'm still just like, you're an actual performer, and I'm still like, I just sit at a microphone in a dark room and talk
and
over
cry when
and talk over the actual talent here.
Yeah.
But so I talked to him for a little bit, and my brain totally derailed where this was even going.
Well, I want to point out one thing real quick, and this I think surprised a lot of people: the Jay Wellington Beauregard voice and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how he talks.
Yeah.
That's just Aaron, you know, that, yeah.
He called you a treasure, so if you felt like you did a bad job, got called a treasure.
I want to give credit to Tanner, because Tanner's the one that spotted him. I didn't even see him, but Tanner said, hey, Beauregard's over there, because he was sitting in the back, and I was like, hey, we have an extra seat, come sit over there. He's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, go ahead, man. So that was so cool seeing you guys sitting together. I love that.
Yeah, and he was super nice.
Yeah.
I kind of like, because he was like, okay, so I'm not, you know, I'm familiar with some of these people through Stride and whatnot, and like he'd seen videos and heard names, like he knew who Sarge was and stuff like that.
I filled in some storyline for the Crowleys and Ace because also Little Bit, because he was very I heard him say that she has schizophrenia, and I was like, Jeff O'Dell's stupid, it's not schizophrenia. Like, I don't think he knows what schizophrenia is.
Yeah.
You really lost your train of thought.
I did, and
you?
I feel like it's like
Allie spit out her Powerade right there.
It's like good thing I don't have to talk. It was good to see him. It was one of those things again, though. Just like I feel like I'm awkward talking to people, and so I was just like, oh yeah, neat, nice.
Hi Beauregard.
This is Mathis. He's big. You know him, right?
You were like Chris Farley. You're like, hey, that. You know Mathis?
Yeah.
Cool.
Except Mikey's bigger.
You chanted that for him.
The opening
moments
of that
before
match
he had his
amazing.
Lights knocked out.
That opening match was I loved that.
The opening of it was just hilarious.
Mikey
is a treasure.
Yeah,
Mikey,
take back
Espy.
What you said, Beauregard.
You know, it's that thing where, like we talked about on the show, like who you think's gonna have a huge 2018. There's nothing but upside to Mikey.
Yeah.
Like I'm
agreed.
Just, you know, and he's a super nice dude. Like every time I've talked to him, he's always been super nice. But
he's
just,
awkward. He's a little odd too.
He is odd. Whenever. I was going around to get information. I met Van. I introduced myself first, so I wasn't just like randomly asking him his weight and where he was from.
How much does this guy weigh?
How much do you weigh? You're big.
And Mikey comes up and is like, whenever the announcers come and get information, I'm like, who's got your tummy? I'm like, okay.
What?
Weighing in at Lil Kev.
Weighing in at Lil Kev.
So I think he's he's got so much potential.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where like as soon as more and more people just see what he can do, he's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
and along with Espy, is everywhere because
Espy was in the PWI top 500.
Yeah,
like, I love watching
insane.
Him. Like watching
Mathis,
him, at, seeing what he does at Glory Pro, like everything. Mathis again. Yeah.
Everybody on the show is a treasure.
And they all, like, the way they put that match together just worked super well where they both had to team up and just that opening bit where he teased the poetry in motion with Espy, but then tripped him.
Yeah.
It's like, that was my face. It's like, yeah, but then you went, oh. And then he went, oh.
Because normally Espy would have just, like, pounded Mikey. Or, like, the person that would do that to him. And he was just like, my face hurts.
So, I want to give...
Because it's Mikey.
I don't know if
mad at him?
I don't know if it's Jason telling him to do it or if it's a choice Espy is making. But we have seen more personality from Espy. Aside from just the blanket intensity, which he's great at and is super and is great.
He's also
to watch,
really funny.
But he's I talked to him a little bit after the Sykeston show and he mentioned he's like, yeah, I'm more of the straight guy. Like, you know, I'm not super goofy, but I can play off of it.
Right.
And he's absolutely right. Like seeing him kind of be the normal one to Mikey was
it's like
awesome.
A buddy comedy.
And I also speaking of Mikey, like I don't know what they're doing with the Mikey Marco thing. Whatever it is, they're wrestling against each other or if they're going to end up teaming up, I don't care what it is. I want to see it.
This is where I'm torn because I would love to see Mikey and Marco as a team, but I also really love Mikey as a singles competitor.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if they could just be bros, cool.
I think they can do both. I mean, I think whenever they feel like they need to tag, they can, and they can also both just kind of like what the, in all honesty, like kind of what everyone in the Pinnacle does is they team up whenever they need to and they're single whenever they need to.
Because that bromance is sweet.
Yeah.
And
the
their,
kiss on the head was just...
Their reaction... Mikey holding his hand out while Marco started
trying to swing at him.
That was fantastic. Also, so Marco came back and had his big introduction. Crowd ate it up. Crowd loves Marco.
Oh, yeah.
He does his backflip that he did, right? Okay, so he does his backflip and I see your guys' reaction. And he comes up to me and he says something like, man, I felt the shockwave through my entire body when I did that backflip. And I said, oh yeah, they were all freaking out about it. And he was like, who? I was like, Allie especially. So he walks over to looks at Allie and like blows her a kiss. And Allie looks up so confused. And then me and Marco start laughing. And I knew she didn't know why he did that.
I actually think like Azer Dalton thought it was to them.
Oh,
it might have been.
It was directed to you.
It was probably all three
of us. I said
us,
you were worried about him.
Well, because it's that thing. It's the same thing with Jackson. Like, you're injured. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, you don't have to do this.
So him, even like, I understand it's his arm. And so like doing backflips and stuff is like, but like you just said, you feel the shockwave through your entire, like, precious cargo, man.
Marco used the wrong hand whenever he started smacking the apron. Oh. And I saw him because he hit it once. He was like, oh, that was a bad idea.
Oh, did he really?
He's like,
but it's one of those things. It's Marco, so I don't know if he actually did that or if he just did it to kind of be funny.
So I don't know if we've said this before because I don't want to. I don't want to make fun of any like indie shows or indie talent or anything like that because they work their asses off and it's great. I love that people do it. But I can honestly say Zach Price has been showing me. So a lot of wrestlers are asking him to put together video packages for them, which is great. Good for Zach. I love Zach. Zach was on PW. You know, he's a homegrown talent. But he's shown me some of these clips of some of these shows where these guys are wrestling in front of, you know, eight people and stuff like that. So I can honestly say now without a shadow of doubt, CCW really is just like one of the biggest indie federations in America. And there's something about the talent. There's something about the fans that makes it feel so special compared to some other things I've seen.
They're like, I'm so excited for what 2018 has.
Me too.
Like, it's going to be because like, and I know you're trying to wind up a little bit.
Well, but, we got about 10 minutes and we have to talk about.
I want to talk about everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's something we haven't really been doing a lot, but I want to give everybody kind of equal time.
Yes.
One thing that I really enjoyed was the Hollis Blaster match.
Yeah.
Just because it wasn't like the prettiest thing, but the character work was amazing. Like from Hollis immediately, like not even letting Blaster finish his entrance, foregoing his own entrance.
Yeah.
That's something that's always bugged me with like WWE, where it's like, oh, these
I'm
guys
wait
have
for this entire
well,
entrance.
They have this like heated blood feud and then they have a wrestling match. This felt like a fight. Hollis right. was rubbing it in the fans' faces that he was, you know,
I'm
on
the
top
former
of
CCW champion. Hollis Jarreau. That was great. Me and Billy started cracking up.
Hollis impressed me with his strength because he hit two Jarreau home drivers and Blaster's not a small man.
Blaster's a big boy.
So that's, you know, I was super impressed by that. Also just like the heart of Blaster, like, yeah, he, you know, Hollis wanted to show off for the last one, but he got his leg up and then eventually got the win. Like, I love that match.
I did too.
We love
Blaster.
Yeah. And like, it's.
Glenn is a great guy. Hollis is a great guy.
They did a good job of like teasing the 3-2-1 and then getting it cut off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, teasing the three and then getting it cut off. Like, so, and then we like finally got it and just. I enjoyed it.
I don't know how many times I sat back there and I would cheer along with you guys. I would listen for what you were chanting and I chant it, or I did the 3-2-1. I don't know how many times people looked at me and said, aren't you supposed to be impartial? And I was like, no, there's nothing that says I have to be impartial.
I just announce. I also, the Ace Crowley, like Ace is just stupid fun to watch.
Otis
is insane. Like,
yeah.
Speaking of like, hey, calm down a little. Cause Precious Cargo. Like, I don't know of him that well. Like, I know we're better friends with Sin just because he's been
around longer
and like we've known him longer. And it's one of those things where I'm genuinely a little intimidated, like when I talk to Otis because he's also kind of a really quiet guy. And
I get the same vibes from him that I get from like Espy,
mm-hmm.
where I don't talk to them much backstage mm-hmm. because they're intense.
Yeah.
But Otis, I've talked to him a couple times. He's a super nice guy.
Oh, no, yeah.
Too.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying like I don't want to talk to him.
He's a nerd too.
It's just,
which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I follow him, like being friends with him on Facebook is like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's just that thing where it's like, oh, hi, I don't belong back here, so I'm just going to say hi and move along.
You're better than me.
Yeah. But just some of the stuff that he does is insane. And Ace, like, I was excited to see that match. Like, I would love to see that match again.
Me too.
Like, down the road.
Yeah.
Especially like, oh, we have a show with a cage coming up.
I want to see, I mean, obviously Jackson versus Ace is the
holy grail.
That's the one we want to go to. And just a sneak preview. We were talking about who are we going to put on our list of the nominees for CCW Wrestler of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Ace Hawkins has to be on my list.
Yeah.
He has to be because Ace has had a fantastic year. And I mean, the fact that he went over to Europe and wrestled should be a sign to show you how good he is.
Like
Hawkins is amazing.
I know he's been doing this for a long time and like CCW is by no means like where he started or is his home promotion or anything, but it's one of those things where it's like, I felt so, like, when he announced that he was going to Europe, it was like, oh, I felt, like, I was so proud of him.
Right.
I was like, that's awesome. Like, you get to, like, and seeing, you know, everybody just, because being friends with wrestlers on Facebook and Twitter is cool, because you get to see, like, where they're going and, like, the stuff that they're doing, and it's just like, hey, that's awesome. Like, Mikey's, like, going everywhere. Espy's going everywhere. Like,
there's only one CCW wrestler I'm not friends with on Facebook. You know who it is?
Damone?
Espy.
Oh, is it really?
It is. I've never sent him a friend request. I'm terrified to.
You should.
Because I was scared enough to send Ace one. Because Ace struck me as the kind of guy that didn't really like, but then I saw he was friends with you guys, and I was like, well, I want in on this too. So I sent him a request and he accepted, but I'm terrified to send Espy one. I can't handle that rejection.
I love our Facebook feud we have going.
That is great. William.
No.
Asia.
Aw.
Sorry.
No, I'm sad because I didn't get to see Sarah. And then the tag team match.
Yes, because if we don't talk about this, Austin's gonna kick our ass. Osby will kick our ass. Brandy will kick our ass.
I'd
Brandy.
Say Brandy.
Brandon! I'm so sorry.
Well, Brandon's gonna kick your ass anyway. So.
Damn it.
And
then Justin will be indifferent.
No,
I'm kidding.
It.
He loves when we talk about him. So let's talk about him.
Well, that's good because I like talking about them. No, it was awesome. I said it on CCW Live and like, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, my storyline explanation and my real life explanation get to like coincide.
Right.
Because I loved the way Brandon and Austin interacted with each other.
Yeah.
I loved the forced tags.
Well, the two stories being told of reluctant partners versus Osby and Justin being like legitimate. They have such good chemistry together
right.
as a tag team. You buy them as a cohesive unit.
Right. Yeah. And then you have Austin and Brandon who don't like each other.
Right.
And are tagging themselves in because they want their shot at, you know, because they both have gripes against both Osby and Justin.
Right.
And with each other. So it's like, okay, you've had your turn. I want in.
Right.
Okay. And what are you doing?
One upsmanship.
And then the slow, like, I think it was Brandon that saved Austin. And then from there, you know, hey, tag me.
Right.
And then he tags Brandon in. And then they start working together as a cohesive unit. And then they really get that momentum on their side until the belt hit, which, so in Missouri, there can be no blood.
Right.
Blood is very strictly banned. And it was a thing where Brandon accidentally got opened up because the CCW championship has
legitimately hit him.
Like, it legitimately hit him. And the plates on it are out. Like, there's a small gap between the leather and the actual plate. And so apparently what happened is the corner of one of those, like, smaller plates just cut him.
Yeah, I asked him. I said, so what happened? Did you actually get hit by the belt? He's like, yeah, it actually whopped me in the face and cut me open.
Yeah, and it was like a straight line just right above his eyebrow. And so on the one hand, it's like, yeah, that's bad. And like, and I don't want to see Brandon get hurt.
No.
Like, you know, we don't want to see our friends get hurt.
None of them.
Because I don't know if it's been confirmed, but that was supposed to be the main event. And I think it got moved so Austin could go be with Nikki.
Well, see, Billy said something about it got changed beforehand.
Oh, really?
But he wasn't sure.
Well, that was just.
But that makes more sense.
And that was my guess.
Yeah.
Whenever it came, it's like, oh, well, Austin probably needs to get to the ER with Nikki, which apparently they had plenty of time.
Yeah.
Yep. God, 5 hours.
Oh my
God. 5 hours in.
So, but yeah, just so, you know, but that visual of them having to be kept apart. And just jawing at each other with, you know, Brandon bleeding, Austin with the championship. Like, that was awesome.
I didn't know that Brandon was bleeding because Jason came to me after the match and said, tell Lane to get Brandon out now.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an angle. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, okay, they're going to do something. So I ran over to Lane and I told him, hey, get Brandon out now, which Lane didn't do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, shit, Lane.
Well, Jason apparently.
Then I saw Brandon sitting in the corner with blood and I was like, oh.
After the show, when Dalton and I were helping break down the ring, Jason. When Brandon were talking and he's like, yeah, I thought you might have seen me mouth get the out of the ring. And he's like, well, I knew I wasn't gonna touch him. I had no plan. Like, I was in control, because it was that thing where Brandon is so good at being intense.
Yeah.
And we have really seen that intensity that Austin can show,
right,
of them like being confrontational. And like, it's that thing where you lose yourself for a second.
Yeah.
And you're like,
that less.
Hey, like, I have enough that I'm like, okay, you can't be in the ring right now because you're bleeding and the whole show will get shut down. But at the same time, it's just like, oh, guys, come on. Like, I fell for it. Again, hook, line, and sinker.
And that last, you were absolutely right. That last part where they were arguing with each other and Brandon's talking about he was bleeding, it's Austin's fault. That felt like the most real thing in the world. The crowd was completely silent. Everybody was hanging on every word Brandon said,
right,
because it felt so genuine. And for a moment, I almost believed it was. I really did. I almost thought, okay, Brandon got hit. He's actually pissed about it. It's such a credit to both of those guys because they're both so intense. Mm-hmm. And Austin always asked me, how did it look? How was the match? Match was great.
Yeah.
Austin Lane, I sometimes forget how incredible he is in the ring.
Right.
How fluid he is, how every move looks good. Austin is so good, and I think we need to talk about how good Osby is, because Osby just as intense.
I was getting ready to say, it's like, well, now that we've talked about, you know, we've gone over how great
Brandon and Austin are.
We don't want to undersell how great Justin and Osby are.
Yeah, because in my mind, it's like Brandon, Austin, and Osby are all so intense.
Mm-hmm.
They're intense wrestlers. Brandon and Austin have the hatred. Osby has the Jekyll and Hyde syndrome where, when he's GM, he's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. When he's wrestling, he's so crazy intense.
But coming out in the GM coat over his wrestling gear and the crazy hair. I like that. I thought that was kind of funny.
Weird Al Yankovic. But, and then there's Justin Smart, who I love
who's
so much.
Like, so
he's
relaxed,
so casual and
aloof.
Cool. Like, it has such a good dynamic with that trio.
But then, like, the one thing will happen, and he really kind of...
He's such a good wrestler.
...ramps it up, and, like and he gets that intensity.
He's the cool heel. He's the coolest guy on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's such a douchebag.
It's one of those things where...
Six.
We are so...
What does that mean, Justin?
But for real, delicious and tastes great. It's that's the same thing. That's what delicious means.
But it rolls off the tongue. It does. He's nutritious. And by the way, when I said that, mm-hmm. he was looking at me and he smiled and nodded. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, he told me afterwards, I didn't have to tell you to say it. I'm like, no, I got it. I got it.
I remember now. But I lost my train of thought again.
Justin Smart.
Yeah.
It Osby.
Was, they're good. I like they're good. They make the good lucha thing.
I'm going to shut up so you don't forget.
Stop it. It's the thing where we have become so close with the CCW roster and we know how talented everybody is that when someone new comes in, maybe even unintentionally, you're just like, well, okay.
Let me put like, my judging hat
on. Let's see what you can do. Cause you know, we got Brandon, we got Mathis, we got Austin, we got Billy. Like we've got like,
the we've best got of the this. Best.
We have like the CCW roster is amazing.
Top tier talent
from top to bottom. And so when Justin Smart comes in and he's like, oh, he's friends with Brandon, you know, he's worked with Austin a bunch. It's just like, and it's totally unfair. It was the same thing with Dell.
Yeah.
When it's like, okay, like, well, let's see what you got.
Yeah. I didn't take to Justin very quickly.
Well, and it was one of those things too, where it's
the jersey.
Well, now that we're friends with friends with everybody and we can talk around and like this new person comes in and at least for me, and correct me if I'm not speaking for you at all, but it's that thing where it's like, okay, I barely feel like I'm supposed to be here, but they know who I am. Like I'm friends. They know I'm supposed to be here. It's fine. But now here comes another wrestler who is absolutely supposed to be here, or Jason wouldn't have brought him in. So I can only imagine, well, who the fuck is this kid?
Yeah, that's
why. Like, what are you doing back here? You got your little CCW employee badge. That's cute. Uh-huh. Like, what? But what? You know, what do you add to the show? What are you supposed to be? Like, what? Or like, you know, who do you think you are? And I know that's not a thing that happens. But
none of them.
But
none of them.
But it's that thing where it's just like that's how I feel. Like, you know, and having talked to Justin, like super nice dude. Yeah. Like,
really chill.
Yeah,
and just, loves us.
Yeah,
and we love him.
We've
been singing his praises since the first show.
And it makes me feel bad that I'm just like, oh, it took me a while. Like, yes, I said hi and I introduced myself because I know that's what I am supposed to do. But it's like that, you know, having that reservation of, okay, but I'm clearly not good enough to be saying hi to you.
Yeah,
like, I'm a name you're immediately going to forget. Yep. And you're just going to wonder, why was this person back here?
But no one has done that to us
at all. And I know that is a personal thing. No one has made me feel that way. Like no one at CCW, one at Stride, no one at like.
I got that feeling with Van Horn. When I saw him for the first time,
I was legitimately intimidated because like I know what a name he is in Tennessee, and so I just like, hey, you know, just wanted to introduce myself, say hi.
And then you had me, you know, go ask him for his weight, and I was just like, I have never talked to this man before.
But he's so humble, and so nice. They all are. They're so nice and humble, and they most of them I think genuinely like us.
Yeah,
like I don't think there's anyone on the roster that dislikes us. Mm-hmm. We were obviously friends with some more than others, but it's a mutual respect thing, and It would be one thing if we just liked them because we were friends,
right?
But we also carry so much respect for how talented they are,
right? Which part of me like I still kind of like that kind of gets in the way of like being legitimately like it'll stop me from like texting Brandon sometimes.
Yeah,
like I'll see something like I don't remember what it was, but I saw something and I immediately thought of Brandon. And I wanted to, like, and I immediately almost wanted to message him. And I know this is stupid. And if he's listening to this, he's going to message me and just be like, you're an idiot. But I was just like, I don't want to bug him.
Yeah.
And it's like,
when Austin messages me, texts me, I go, oh, Austin Lane texted me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, like, Austin likes you. You're
like,
friends.
I wanted to message Austin and Nikki and kind of like, and check in and be like, hey, you know, hope you guys are doing well. But I was like, I don't want to bug them. They have a million messages right now. Like, right. And especially with kind of, you know, Nikki is kind of uncomfortable with like, cause that whenever she like retired,
she didn't tell anybody
cause she didn't want the attention on her. Mm-hmm. So right. Like, Austin would be like, hey, they talked about you on the podcast. She's like, ah, stop it. Like, so it's that.
I can hear her saying that too.
So I'm like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be obnoxious. I don't want to.
So,
I felt that way.
Yeah. But I know that's me.
Whenever I had them help me with one of my projects, like I knew part of me was like, they would love to help you. They're entertainers. They love these kind of things. But I was still just like, but don't ask them.
Don't bother
them. They're not, they don't need to be bothered. And then whenever they said, no, I'll help, I was like, oh, thank you.
Hey, can I just mention real quick, one thing I'm going to miss about Nikki for as long as she's out, and one of the things I love so much, it's so stupid and simple, but when Jeff O'Dell says, give him a ticket to the gun show, and she flexes, I love that.
No, it's great.
We got to get out of here, but I want to, one last thing about the show. I'm really excited to see Brandon versus Austin.
Yes.
I think they've had a great feud before. Now it's got even more meat on the bone. Mm-hmm. That is going to blow the lid off. And I'm also really curious to see where the administration goes, which is Osby, Robert Van Meter, and Justin the Juice Smart. Maybe Mikey. We don't know. I'm excited to see where they go, because I could see this being a top tier faction. It's nice to have more than one faction in CCW. It was the pinnacle for the longest time, but now it feels like the pinnacle is not losing steam, but like you said, their tactics aren't working. It's almost like they're kind of lowering right now, so the administration comes up, but then you know what are they going to have planned.
Yeah. There's also a lot of injuries in the pinnacle. If you saw Megan made a... took a picture of their shirt, pretty much colored completely over Jeff O'Dell and X'd out all the people that are injured from the pinnacle.
And I think it was the moan that said something like, did someone put a hex on us?
He would know.
He's the Nephilim.
Damone who?
So I'm
no. That's copyrighted. Well, if anyone would use it, she'd let you.
I'm super excited to see what 2018 is going to bring.
Me too. I can't wait for January.
And I like honestly like we haven't gotten any official like word on anything, but like I'm super excited because we haven't done interviews at the last two shows. I miss doing commentary.
Me too.
Like so, hopefully we're gonna like that'll be because I know they're moving stuff from Fight TV to the YouTube show or the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll
get
confirmation
on that.
Yeah. So, but I mean, hopefully we get to do more of that because I miss doing commentary. I just one of the last times I talked to Brandon, he actually mentions like, hey, and you know, you guys, you know, I went back and rewatched something. You guys just do such a good job. And it's like, well, no, we have the easy part.
Yeah. We just talk.
We get to enhance. We just get to kind of maybe fill in some gaps or give some flavor to the story that you all are telling in the ring.
You are the Xbox One X. We are just the 4K enhancement.
Right.
We just make it look a little nicer. Speaking of one last thing on CCW, when he really got to get out of here, we are going to have the end of the year awards. Now, this isn't just for CCW.
Right.
This is the Zillas. We're bringing it back. We're going to
huge hit last year.
Very big. I mean, it was part of a storyline.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're going to do a regular, I don't want to say regular wrestling, everything that's not CCW. We're going to do that in January because we want to wait to the end of the year. But obviously, since CCW is done for the year, we're going to have in the next week, 2 weeks, where you guys can vote on your favorite CCW stuff. We're getting the nominees. We're getting the categories done. We'll have that on pretty much every Facebook we can.
Yeah, because if I'm thinking correctly, we're going to set up like a Google Drive voting system.
Yeah.
So that way the CCW Facebook page can post it. Podzilla can post it. Us individually can post it. You know, if Brandon is or Austin or whoever, anyone who's, you know, nominated for something, they can share it.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a CCW live where we unveil the winners.
The people that you picked.
Yes.
And then
that one is going to be totally fan picked.
Yes. We're not picking this.
Last year we did it was all in house, but this time we're letting the CCW fans have a voice and be able to be the ones to pick the winner. We're going to do like five categories, I think.
Yeah.
Which that still needs to be ironed out, but, and then we are going to do our internal, like everything else, because like, since we're so close with CCW, like
we don't want to pick.
Yeah.
We don't want to pick Austin and then Brandon go, why didn't you pick me?
Right.
Also, honestly, it'd be impossible for us, I think, to
pick somebody. Yeah.
It's an all-way tie for everything.
Everybody wins everything.
Everyone gets an award.
And then we'll
create that award again this year, and we will present that award in the ring to the superstar of the year.
Who is your face changed? It's like, oh, speaking of news.
She knew that. She's so.
I know, no, but like, just the reaction, like, because it was timed with you, like, dropping your wall, like, the cards, just like, oh, okay, am I?
You seem so upset about last year's.
Well, that's because, all right, so last year was a joke, kind of.
Yeah,
we spray painted a toy dinosaur and put it on a.
But it was charming.
It was.
It was cute.
But I think at this point, since we have legitimized so much in a year, and here at Podzilla 1985, I think we really need to step our game up and make it look
like
nice.
I still like the idea of statues, though, because that's what a lot of movie awards are.
Okay, we'll have Calvin 3D print us a Godzilla. We'll paint that sumbitch gold, and we'll give it to the winner at the January CCW show. Jason, that's what we want to do. We want to present it in the ring. Last year, we were going to.
You confirmed it on CCW Live, so now that you're asking Jason, like,
yeah,
2 hours
like,
into the show.
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission, is my
thing. I think that's how it works.
We got to get out of here. We're going to be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark. It's our last Nostalgia November. I don't know what we're talking about, but it'll be a lot of fun. I also want to say, I will talk more about it tomorrow, but I want to say thank you guys so much for listening. Once again, for like the seventh month in a row, the most listened to month in Podzilla history.
Yay.
By a huge margin. It's insane. You guys are great. Thank you so much for supporting us. I love you so much.
Yes.
Real quick, Asa, do the plugs and we're out of here.
So we thank you for listening. That's huge. And, we appreciate that. If you want to go just that extra step, you can go to facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Give us a like. If you heard us say something that you don't agree with on the show, let us know in the comments.
And share it with your friends.
Be nice, but like, or be don't. Like, oh, you messed this up or I disagree with this, because we love to hear other people's opinions on stuff.
Absolutely.
And we interact. We'll, we, message back and forth with different people and stuff. So yeah. It can be fun. So
give us a like. Be like Zane Laney.
Hashtag be like Zane. And, you know, share us with, you know, if you know someone who likes wrestling and likes podcasts and likes hearing the dum-dums ramble for more than an hour.
An hour and 40 minutes.
Send that on to them. So yeah, thank you. If you want to go even farther than that, you can donate to us, at patreon.com/podzilla1985. Jesse had been looking into, we've had some audio audacity issues on Nerd Up. So,
but Jesse has plans.
Jesse has plans. We're trying to look into a new recording software, which we're definitely not doing, the one that Mandy suggested. Because Dalton said on the air that it was like $40 on sale. Dalton found a book about the thing. It's like $300 a year.
Jeez.
Yeah. So
we don't need that.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
I mean, and we can't do that even if we needed it.
No.
So,
not
but,
yet.
But any money
get
that,
your wallets out.
Any money that we raise through Patreon, it just goes to getting better equipment. But you know, we're looking at soundboard. We may be doing, new mics soon, high quality mics. So, you know, we already sound like our quality is, is great compared to like a lot of other places.
We can be better.
But we can be better. And we want to get, you know, give you the best quality podcast that we can, because you're taking the time out of your day to listen to us. And we feel like it's our duty to make it as enjoyable for you. So,
absolutely. And if things go well enough, pizza party.
Stop it. That's not a funny joke.
Because it's not
also
a joke.
That's also illegal with how you use Patreon.
No, I didn't say the Patreon would pay for it. Lonnie will pay for it.
When you tag on to the when it's added to the Patreon plug, it kind of has implications.
Are we still plugging that? I thought we were just talking about pizza.
No, that's you.
I am hungry.
And then also go to podzilla1985.com.
Catch up on old
episodes.
We did a fantastic episode last night about extraterrestrials on I Want to Believe that I would put in my top 10 favorite episodes I've ever done. I had so much fun. So I definitely, and tonight's episode I thought went swimmingly.
I like it.
And I feel bad about that because Dalton wasn't here. I missed all. In fact, let me just share this before we go. We get the table ready.
Mm-hmm.
Asa starts grabbing chairs. Asa grabs a chair and puts it in Dalton's spot. And I look at him and go, And then we all get sad. And it's like, I put the chair back.
And then one last thing that you could hopefully do for us, subscribe to us on whatever podcasting service that you listen to.
Yeah.
Apple Podcasts, iTunes, anything like that. Give us a subscribe. If you have the option of leaving us a review, we would very much appreciate that, because that changes the algorithms of where those podcasts are displayed, and it kind of moves us up in search features and tags and things like that. So
you guys are clearly kicking ass in some way, because our listenership is up.
Yeah, and we absolutely appreciate every single one of you. So
yeah, and we love you guys so much. We'll be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark. Until then, take care of yourselves, and we will see you on Thursday.
Oh,
good night.
Just sorry, real
son.
I know. We're at an hour and 45, but just real quick, happy Rusev Day.